You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken, we trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. And we will be continuing on with reading Kingdom of God, Volume 3. We are in Chapter 5, The Importance of Correct Understanding. And my wife is on the line, and she will be reading this tonight. I am actually driving. We were going to have a weekly meeting with Kevin Kraut and friends, but something happened, and they weren't able to do it again, so we're just going to do a regular reading tonight. Kim, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Okay. I think my headset, it needs to be turned up a little, and I'm not sure.
You're kind of quiet.
On low. Yeah, I don't know why. Okay, well, I turned it up as much as I can. So anyway, did you find the place that I posted the text for Chapter 5?
Importance of Correct Understanding, Chapter 5?
Yes, that's the chapter that we're going to be covering tonight. So if you're good to go, I will just put my mic up and that'll mute me. And, oh, by the way, we will take phone calls at the end of the show if there is anyone who wants to ask any relevant questions that have to do with Mormonism. That would be fine with me, but we'll wait till after the reading. So is there anything before you want to get started, Kim?
Nope.
Okay, I will just just do it normal, you know, read one page at a time, and then at the end of the page, if I have anything to say, I'll chime in, and if I don't have anything to say, I won't, and if I can't get to the mic, I will just be silent, because whatever happens, I mean, who knows. So anyway, sometimes, just for the listening audience, I am driving a semi-truck, and there are a couple of places that cut out. And then, who knows, like, there's always something that's happening, and I'm all like, ugh. So,
yeah.
So, anyway, Kim's going to be reading me bedtime stories, even though I'm driving all night, and we'll talk about it as we go along. So, I'll mute myself. Thank you for reading, Kim.
You're welcome. Okay. So, The Importance of Correct Understanding, Chapter 5 of Kingdom of God, Volume 3, pages 49 through 64. If the deceived religionists who think the church is the kingdom of God were right, and there is not going to be any supernatural and all-powerful world government which is the kingdom of God, then humanity is utterly without hope. All human life is in danger of extinction. That's from What Do You Mean, Kingdom of God, Herbert W. Armstrong, page 26. No doctrine of the Bible, however important, but has been perverted and abused by men, and has been allied with error and even extravagance. The doctrine of the kingdom has not escaped the withering touch of depravity. That's from Theocratic Kingdom, Reverend George Peters, Volume 1, page 645. The four Gospels mention the word kingdom 320 times. With all these references, Jesus made up the kingdom of God. Did his listeners really understand what he was talking about? Has Christianity preserved for us the nature, the laws, or even the definition of what the kingdom was? It takes only a few years for word meanings to evolve, and 3 years for language itself to change. After 2,000 years of biased translators, ignorant transcribers, uninspired monks and priests, and corrupt political leaders, confusion and half-truths remain. Now we're on page 50. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
You are cutting out a little bit. How many bars do you have?
Hang on a second. I am taking it off my Wi-Fi because generally the Wi-Fi makes it mess up, but if I'm on just my phone, then I don't break up.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, you were breaking up a little bit, but it wasn't too bad. But we, for those of you that don't know, we live out in the country, and we don't have the best cell phone service, and we don't have the best internet service, and we don't have the best anything. You know, we lived out in Emory County, Utah, and we just got to deal with what we got to deal with. So. At the house, like, the cell phone service isn't the greatest, but this is a long distance number and we can't call it with our house phone because it won't let us. So anyway, I'll mute myself. I didn't really have anything to say other than a lot of these quotes that you were giving, they are not from Mormon sources, but like, some people flip out about stuff like that, and I could care less. Like, Joseph Smith said that we take truth from everywhere, and then we, like, you know, we make it our own, because the truth is the truth, you know? So, but some people are like, well, does this come from the Brethren? Like, I told somebody last week, if you can't read anything that doesn't come from the church, I don't even want you to listen to my radio programs or be in my group. So, I don't know. Anyway, go ahead, Kim.
Okay. Could today's definition of the kingdom of God be different from what it was 2,000 years ago? Over 1,000 contemporary Christian churches cannot describe what the word church means. So how can they come up with a correct definition for the term kingdom of God? Anciently, explanations and definitions pertaining to the kingdom of God were revealed by inspired men and prophets in the latter days. It will, again, take inspired men and prophets to reveal the correct understanding. Moses, David, and Solomon knew nothing about how to build a tabernacle or a temple until God revealed it to them. Likewise, in the latter days, Joseph Smith knew very little about such construction until God revealed it to him. Moses, Jesus, and Joseph Smith had to be instructed by God in order in the order, the Constitution and the laws of the kingdom of God before they could teach and establish it on the earth. When there was a restoration of both the church and the kingdom in these latter days, the members understood the nature of the kingdom, its organization, and aims. However, in a few years, that definition was changed. This is exactly what happened in the early Christian churches and also in the LDS church today. Throughout this three-volume series on the kingdom of God, we have provided an abundance of explanations of the term. But how important is having a correct understanding? Does it really matter if people think it's a spiritual essence in your heart, a place in heaven, a church, or a religion? The answers to these questions can be easily found by answering the following questions. It's page 51. Did you have anything to add?
Two things. The thing about the definition of church, in the Greek, it's ekklesia. It means a gathering of people. So, like, you've got these idiots, and I'm sorry if you're one of these idiots, but I'm calling you out on it, that are like, church just means a gathering of people because we know what the word ekklesia means, and ekklesia is Greek, so we know things. Yeah, like, a synagogue was a gathering of people. Ekklesia was a gathering of people. But it's more than just a gathering of people. Like, there is an authority structure in the heavens, in the kingdom of God, and in the church. So it's not just a gathering of people. In Ephesians chapter 4, it gives the offices that are in a church. So that's not, there's not just a gathering of people. But, like, people, like, the pendulum swings, right? So you've got these Mormons that are sick and tired of this authoritarianism in the Brighamite LDS church in Salt Lake City. So then they go out and they're like, oh, church just means church and there's no authority. Yeah, there is authority. Peter, James, and John had authority. Paul had authority. There were 70. Paul was a 70 apostle. Peter, James, and John were apostles, like different kinds of apostles. Like, there were different offices in the church, you know, and priesthood also. It's not just the priesthood of all believers like Martin Luther and John Calvin wanted to, like, say, because they couldn't stand the authoritarianism of the Catholic Church. Like, Aaron got his authority from Moses. Moses got his authority from a priest of his father-in-law, a priest of Midian, who had gotten his authority and a line of authority back to the father. So there is authority. Yeah. And so, okay, so the other thing, too, I was just thinking, all right, so for those of you that don't understand, the reason this is called Fundamentally Mormon is because we're like, we lean towards fundamentalism, but we're a little bit off, okay? We're like, Kim and I, we are like neo-fundamentalists, I guess. I don't even know what you call us. Because we take truth no matter who speaks it, like Joseph Smith did. But we do not accept the authority claims of any authority claim person or anyone from them after Nauvoo because of Section 124 and what is said where Jesus says, I will reject the church with their dead. He said, like, there would be, like, if they were obedient, that there would be certain blessings, and God would fight their battles for them. They would not be removed from their place. You know, if they were disobedient, that they would be rejected and cursed to the fourth generation. You know, and I have specific authority claims that came because of what God gave me by the laying on of hands in 2003 when he personally laid his hands on my head. So there's like some weird, you know, we're not like typical fundamentalists, but we read these things because Brigham Young had a lot of truth and Heber C. Kimball had a lot of truth and John Taylor had a lot of truth. But we don't accept them as the Lord's anointed. We do not believe they have the keys of authority. We do believe that they were rejected as a church with their dead in the fact that they did not have the Lord's anointed to lead them, that they had stewards like Brigham Young and John Taylor. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't accept them as prophets, but we don't accept them as capital P prophets, because anybody can be a prophet, all right? So, like, when John Taylor had his vision, I mean, I believe that. I believe that God did tell him what to do with the church and told him not to reject plural celestial marriage or give in to the Gentiles, whatever, even though they did. I do believe that Lorenzo Snow saw Jesus Christ in the temple outside of the Holy of Holies, where Jesus told him, you know, I'm not going back in the Holy of Holies because you've rejected my gospel, which did happen. But I don't look at them as the Lord's anointed. Now, you were talking about in this page how Joseph Smith didn't know how to build a temple, but God showed it to him, and how Solomon didn't know how to build a temple, but God showed it to him, and how Moses didn't know how to build a temple, but God showed it to him. And we can even take that to Nephi didn't know how to build a boat, but God showed it to him, and the brother of Jared didn't know how to build the kind of weird boats that he built, but God showed it to him, and Noah didn't know how to build a boat, but God showed it to him. Okay, Brigham Young tried to build the temple out of sandstone because God didn't show it to him when he got to Salt Lake. They had to tear down this all the way down to the foundation because they used the wrong material. He didn't get it from God. He got it from masons. He got, oh, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and we're going to kind of, you know, fix it after the manner of the Salt Lake Temple, I mean, after the manner of the Nauvoo Temple, kind of, but not really, because we changed a whole bunch of stuff. They had to tear the thing down and then rebuild it with granite, because God didn't show them how to do it. And that goes right along with, I don't accept Brigham Young as the Lord's anointed. And he even said, I'm not a prophet, I'm a good Yankee guesser. You can find those quotes. He said he wasn't a prophet. And then he tried to divert authority to Heber C. Kimball. Well, Heber C. Kimball's my prophet. Well, that's nice, but you're the leader of the church, and you're supposed to receive revelation for the church. He didn't receive revelation for the church, or maybe he did. I don't know, but I don't believe he was the Lord's anointed. When Jesus says, I'm going to reject the church with your dead, he says, if you don't fight my battle, or if you don't do what I say, I will. Well, he says, if you do what I say, I'll fight your battles. You shall not be removed from your place. But then they are removed from their place. Like the whole thing with curse to the third and fourth generation comes up. I mean, I just can't accept Brigham Young as the Lord's anointed. And I know that this is just a great shock to everyone, because some truck driver in Emory County that pops up out of nowhere says that he's the Lord's anointed, and I'm talking about myself. Well, you know what? I didn't believe it until God told me in 2013 who I was. But in 2003, I did have the Father seal me up unto himself and give me eternal life and make me the Lord's anointed with the fullness of the priesthood. And in 1997, my patriarchal blessing that I received in the LDS Church did say that I have been given, past tense, I already had it, have been given the gift of eternal life. And the stake president and the stake patriarch said that I've already gotten my calling and election. And I was like, how in the world did that happen? But I already qualified for it. It's not because of who I am in this planet. It's because who I was ordained to be and the office that I held as the witness of the Father and the Son before I came to this earth. So, Kim, have you read my patriarchal blessing? Have you seen that? I don't know if I've ever showed it to you. I've talked about it plenty.
Yeah. Yep.
So you can be a witness to the people that it does say that I have been given the greatest gift that God has to bestow, the gift of eternal life.
Yes.
Like, that's exactly how it reads in my patriarchal blessing.
Yep.
Which is really confusing to me in 1997. And even all the way up until 2003. I was like, what in the world? You know, but when the Father laid his hands on my head, and then that was confusing to me because I was like, why did God, like, I was thinking, Joseph Smith didn't even, like, embrace the Father and the Son. How in the world is it that I have embraced the Father and the Son? You know, and I believe Joseph Smith was, like, God the witness or the Holy Ghost, because that's what fundamentalists believe, you know. But it really confused me. Like, I had to work it out in my brain, and I was just like, how in the world, like, not even Jesus or Joseph Smith had the witness that I have. Like, the witness that I have isn't just seeing. It isn't just hearing. It's embracing in the flesh, in the light of the noonday sun. And, like, when God finally, he was like, kneel down before me and ask me who you are, because I wouldn't listen. I was like, fine, I'll ask. Yes, you know, he told me that the king commanded, and I bowed down and obeyed. And he showed me who I was. And when I said, God, am I the witness? He looked at me and he said, well, it has to be somebody. And it is still blows my mind to this day that, like, he would choose somebody like me. I am not polished. I am who I am, and I am bold. God's told me to be bold, but I am ready to battle with truth, and I don't care who you are and what kind of authority you think that you have. Like, bring it on, you know. That's from the, you know, whatever prophet comes to me and whatever church leader comes to me, you know, I have to hold to what I know to be true. So, but I'm also brash, and I'm not polished at all. Anyway, but I don't know why I felt like I needed to say all that. I brought it up because Brigham Young, you know, he claimed to be the Lord's anointed, but then he didn't claim it. But he kind of did, but he kind of didn't. And, like, that's just one more evidence that when he says, you know, that God showed these other men how to do things, but he didn't show Brigham Young how to do it, and Brigham Young had to learn by trial and error. That's because he wasn't being shown how to do things. He had to figure it out by his own logic. The Salt Lake Temple, he may have concocted it and dreamed it up. And I accept the Salt Lake Temple to a point, because that's the first place that I saw Jesus Christ in a vision. You know, and that was taken into what I consider the Holy of Holies, even though there's a different place they call the Holy of Holies, but where I was taken to in the highest room of the temple, you know, where I heard the voice of the Father, like, and that was a very spiritual place. That's where I got my endowments out. So, you know, I don't know what to think about it all, but I do know that God told me who I am, that I am the witness, the witness. And there was a cursing that came upon the saints for four generations, which is 160 years. And at the end of 160 years of being cursed, God did choose a prophet. And somehow I became that prophet. And I don't like it. I am happy that I have had the experiences that I've had, but I wouldn't wish anybody to be a prophet with any kind of authority. I mean, to see the Father and the Son, that's one thing. To be taught by angels, that's another thing. And it's great. But then to have to go out and boldly share the witness that I've been given, it paints a target on my back and on my head, and I hate it. So, but I'll do it because that's what Heavenly Father wants me to do, and I'm going to be bold in that witness, but I don't like it. And I don't know. I don't think Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, I don't think any of them liked it. I think when they went through the things they went through, like, they didn't want to go through it. So, but I can understand that about. Anyway, I'm going to let you keep reading because we've still got like 12 pages or 13 pages. Yeah, I'm just going to mute myself. So thanks for letting me talk.
Okay. Can you still hear me okay? I only have one bar, it says.
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I could hear the kids in the background for a minute there, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see. Page 51. Could you be in trouble if someone told you a snake was poisonous and you thought he meant playful? Ask Emmett. Sorry. Okay. Would you be in danger if someone told you a bridge you planned to use was gone and you thought they said it was safe? Could there be a similar repercussion by believing in an incorrect interpretation of the kingdom of God? If the correct definition of the kingdom of God is the government of God, and we think it is a religion, we would be headed in the wrong direction. Surely if we are to seek first for the kingdom, we ought to know what it is. If the kingdom of God is the most prominent doctrine of the Bible, there must be some serious consequences involved for misunderstanding it or seeking for it in the wrong places. The key to understanding the kingdom of God is to realize that it is not the same as the Church of Jesus Christ. In fact, it is not a church at all. The church refers more particularly to the spiritual things and the kingdom to the temporal. The following distinctions between the two may help in better understanding the difference. The kingdom of God is the prophesied is wait, sorry, let me read again. The kingdom of God is the kingdom prophesied by the prophet Daniel. It was the stone cut out of the mountain without hands. Obviously, what Daniel saw included the restoration of the priesthood, the church, and the kingdom. The basic authority for both the political kingdom and the ecclesiastical church is through the keys of the higher priesthood. The kingdom of God is God's government on earth and will absorb or overrule all other kingdoms. The political organization of this kingdom will include all the people of the earth, both non-members and church members. The kingdom will protect all the people of the earth in their civil and religious rights, including the right to defer. Page 52.
All right, I got something to say real quick, and I'll say it quick.
Okay.
Daniel chapter 2, I think it is, where that kingdom coming out of the mountain, everybody thinks that's the church. It's not. In Revelations chapter 12, you've got the two witnesses, and then in Revelations chapter 12, that the woman who is referred to as the church is giving birth to the child who will be the kingdom. This thing that is being seen by Daniel is the mountain is the church, same as the woman. The kingdom is being born. And the kingdom is being born by a king. So the king comes out of the church. That's Messiah ben Joseph, who is over the political portion of the kingdom of God. The stone that rolls forth isn't the church. That's the kingdom. In Genesis chapter 49, it talks about the rock of Israel, or the rock of Jacob. The rock of Israel, or the rock of Joseph, or the rock of Ephraim, all the same person. Jesus Christ is the stone and rock of Judah. That's a different person. Messiah ben Yosef is the king over the political portion of the kingdom of God. That's the stone that Daniel sees. Now, I'm sorry, I need to be quick because it's going to take forever, but because I could go on about this. Because they're teaching false doctrine. Now, if the church was rolling forth, destroying the kingdoms of the earth, as is said in the revelation that Daniel saw, that vision, this death, why aren't they doing that now? Why aren't they destroying the kingdoms of the earth now? They're in bondage to the United States of America, Babylon the Great. You know, they're getting kicked out of Russia. You know, they don't have any authority over the kingdoms of this world. But the political portion of the kingdom of God, when it is born, and when the king sits on his throne, Messiah ben Yosef, that will be a kingdom to behold. Because the saints of that kingdom will be given the fullness of the priesthood. And that's when it talks about two chasing down 10,000. Whole armies will be afraid to go against two individuals having the fullness of the priesthood. But you have not been given as a church It was rejected to you, Nauvoo, because of your disobedience. The stone that is cut out of the mountain is the king being excommunicated, which is the mountain, or the woman. The kingdom comes forth from the woman in Revelation chapter 12. That's Messiah ben Joseph. And when he's killed and he's caught up to his throne, as it talks about in these two chapters in Revelations 11 and 12, and he comes back as a resurrected being, the kingdoms of the world will truly fear at that point, because this individual is going to destroy them, like what Daniel saw. And it is not the church that does that. It is the kingdom. So it drives me a little bit nuts to hear false doctrine being preached. They didn't understand it. I do understand it. I'm going to preach the truth of it. And the only reason I have the truth is because God gave me the truth about these topics. So these are not my own personal interpretations. These are God's interpretations that I am relaying as an oracle to you, the people. So, go ahead, Kim.
Oh, you caught me in the middle of a drink. Hold on. I was just getting some water. Okay. The kingdom will be a government of political, social, civil, and economic order. For the benefit of mankind, rather than the oppression of them, the kingdom will have a constitution which will be revealed from heaven. The gathering of the saints will constitute the elect people of God, through whom many things pertaining to the kingdom will be given. The law of the kingdom and the foundation of Zion will be closely connected, for out of Zion shall go forth the law to all nations. See Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. The kingdom, not necessarily the church, will arouse strong opposition from other world governments who will feel threatened. In the 1840s, these concepts were presented to the saints, but even then were not completely understood. It was clearly thought that the kingdom of God was a government, a political organization. However, today it has been changed to mean a church. To prove this point, over 62 contemporary erroneous statements have been included in this chapter, arranged alphabetically by speaker, leaving no questions as to the change in definition that has occurred during the past century. From Ezra Taft Benson in the Ensign, November 1975, page 34, states, Joseph Smith was called of God to reestablish that kingdom, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Since we accept his church as the kingdom of God on the earth, we are under obligation as his disciples to preach his gospel to all the world. And that's seen in Come Unto Christ, Benson, page 9. Page 53. Did you want me to keep going?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to let you just run through it because I talk too much. If there's something I really want to say, I'll cut in.
Okay. Hugh B. Brown, the church has been organized and set up. It is the kingdom of God, and it will never be thrown down. That's conference report, October 1961, page 87. The Church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, is amassing its forces, getting ready for that which is to follow. That's conference report, October 1967, page 113. If they are baptized, it must be by proper authority, and if authoritatively baptized, they will become members of the kingdom of God, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. Give it whatever name you may. That's in The Abundant Life, Brown, page 116. And from William J. Critchlow, Jr., presently, it is the government of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, God's kingdom here on earth. That's from Conference Report, October. It says October, and then it says 11/9/1963. So I think that was supposed to have a comma there, and it's supposed to say October 1st, 1963, page 28. Lauren C. Dunn, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the kingdom of God on the earth. That's an Ensign January 1973, page 84. Alvin R. Dyer says, the kingdom of God, or Christ's church, has been set up as a result of the restoration of truth unto the prophet Joseph Smith. That's from conference report, April 1963, page 48. David B. Haight said, the church is not a democracy. It is a kingdom. That's Ensign, November 1992, page 74. His kingdom is again established on the earth, which is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's Ensign, May 1982, page 75. And page 54, where Gordon B. Hinckley says, this church is a part of his divine plan. It is the kingdom of God in the earth, Ensign, May 1985, page 50. He also says, it should be recognized that this church is not a social club. This is the kingdom of God in the earth. And that's an Ensign, May edition, 1990, page 97. He also stated, with the tremendous growth of the church, we become increasingly aware of the great magnitude of the affairs of the Lord's kingdom. That's in conference report, October 1967, page 89. And then we go on to Howard W. Hunter. We represent and speak today for a worldwide church, the organized and established kingdom of God on the earth. That's Ensign, May 1991, page 65. The Church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God on earth, was reestablished and destined, according to Scripture, to roll forth and fill the whole earth. That's conference report, October 1963, page 101. Marlon K. Jensen said, I testify that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is God's kingdom on the earth today. That's in Ensign, November 1989, page 28. And then Spencer W. Kimball, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was restored in 1830 after numerous revelations from the divine source. And this is the kingdom set up by God, by the God of heaven, that would never be destroyed. This is teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, page 433. He also said, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is literally the authorized kingdom of God upon the earth today. This is the restored church. This is the kingdom of God upon the earth. That's in Ensign, May 1976, page 6 and 7. Continuing on to page 55, he also said, now we have come to a realization that the kingdom of God and the Church of Jesus Christ constitute a world church. That's in Ensign, November 1977, page 48. Harold B. Lee then said, and to enter into the kingdom of God, that is to become members of the church. And that's in Stand Ye in Holy Places by Lee, page 48. He also said, bore eloquent witness to the growing awareness that the kingdom of God, meaning the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is worldwide. And that's from the same source, page 84. Here, the Church of Jesus Christ is made synonymous with the kingdom of God, which parallels a similar organization in heaven. And that is also from that same source, Stand Ye in Holy Places, by Lee, but in page 321. And he also says, the presidency of the high priesthood hold the keys of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the church. Therefore, the presidency of the high priesthood is also the presidency of the church. Elder Harold B. Lee taught this principle. That's in Sacred Truth of the DNC, Otten and Caldwell, Volume 2, page 54. Richard W. Madsen says, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is not a creed. It's not a sect. It's not a branch of an earthly organization, but this is the Church of Jesus Christ, the established kingdom of our Lord in the earth. Conference Report, April 6, 1946, page 100. And I'm probably going to ruin this guy's name, but Helvicio Martins said, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was the Lord's kingdom on earth. That's Ensign, November 1990, page 26. Neil A. Maxwell said, the living church was and is a real kingdom with a king, authority, ordinances, rules, doctrines, and duties. That's in Things as They Really Are, Maxwell, page 45. Continuing on to page 56, Bruce R. McConkie said, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as it is now, constituted is the kingdom of God on earth. Nothing more needs to be done to establish the kingdom. That's in Doctrine of the New Testament, something, just COM. Do you know what that means? Volume 1, page 537.
No, I don't know. What is that? What's the initials?
It says Doc NT COM.
I have no idea.
Neither do I, but that's what it says. Anyway, the kingdom of God on earth is the church of Jesus Christ. They are one and the same. It was as though the apostles said to the Lord, "We know thou hast given us thy church, which is the kingdom of God on the earth." That also comes from Doc NT COM, volume 2, page 22 and 24. This church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is in very deed the kingdom of God on earth. That's IMP era, the empirical era, December 1970, page 114. And then Oscar McConkie Jr., however, the kingdom is here, and it is the same kingdom. Sorry, a thing popped up in front. Is the same kingdom which Daniel said would be set up in the last days. The church and the kingdom are one and the same. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the kingdom of God on earth. The priest and the Aaronic priesthood, McConkie, page 191. David O. McKay. And when that longing comes after we are in the church or kingdom, that comes conference report, April 1962, page 8. And then Russell M. Nelson says, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, however, is neither a democracy nor a republic. His is a kingdom, the kingdom of God on earth, and signed May 1993, page 38. And something that I'm noticing while I'm reading this, it says, the Church of Jesus Christ of capital L-A-T-T-E-R, and then hyphen lowercase c-a-y saints. And some of them earlier, they were saying it the way the church name was before, so that's kind of interesting. But this is from the Ensign in 1993, so it would have been changed by then.
Most people don't know that the church actually lost a lawsuit about the name of the church, and they had to add a hyphen and a lowercase d in Latter-day Saints in order to change their name to be compliant with law, because another church in Wisconsin, which is a break off from Nauvoo, actually claimed that name. And the LDS church, the Brighamite church, didn't get to it in time, so they lost the right to do it the way that it was originally, so they had to change things. So like when Kim's talking about that, she just understands that history, where most LDS people don't even know that that other church exists, or that that lawsuit existed, or that the church in Salt Lake lost the lawsuit. So it's just some interesting stuff that we find out when we study, and Kim and I study, so...
Okay. James M. Paramore. They were members of his church, the Kingdom of God on Earth. Ensign, May 1988, page 10. Page 57. Are you still good for me to keep reading?
Yeah, keep on going. I'm good.
Okay. Marky Peterson said, "This is a great church. It is indeed the Kingdom of God." Conference report, April 1949, page 145. Ronald E. Pullman said, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the kingdom of God on earth. That's an Ensign, November 1984, page 64. Franklin D. Richards, quoting Harold B. Lee, quote, this means let your light so shine that men shall be led to join the church or the kingdom of God, end quote. Conference report, April 1961, page 84. And also quoting Francis M. Lyman, quote, it will be profitable to all Latter-day Saints to make this church first in their hearts and affections. Why? Because the Lord has told us to seek first the kingdom of God. We have sought the kingdom and have found it. End quote. That's from Conference Report, April 1964, page 65. Marion G. Romney, this church is the literal kingdom of God on the earth, in the earth. Sorry, I keep saying on, but I'll always say in the earth. Conference Report, April 1961, page 117. Eldred G. Smith, I know that this is the kingdom of God, that this is his church. Conference Report, April 1964, page 87. That David O. McKay.
What did they excommunicate him then? I'm sorry, Eldridge D. Smith. When they gave the priesthood to the blacks, to the Canaanites, which it says in Zechariah chapter 14, that in the millennium that they wouldn't have it then, so I don't know why they give it to them now, but whatever. Eldridge D. Smith was the patriarch of the church, and he wouldn't give them a lineage in the house of Abraham because they're not from the house of Abraham. They are Canaanites. And as much as that upsets people in our modern, like, snowflake society, that's the truth. That's why Zechariah chapter 14 sees a vision of the millennium and sees that Canaanites are not allowed in the house of God in the millennium. So why are they allowed in the house of God now? And Eldridge G. Smith, and he has, I know the church is the kingdom. Well, that's interesting. What did he think about it after 1978 when they gave the Canaanites the priesthood? And then because he wouldn't do things in the kingdom, like they just made him an emeritus status and they never called anybody to that position of authority ever again. There has never been a patriarch of the church from that time until now. And Eldridge G. Smith died in 2013, and that was done. And he was the end of the fourth generation. There's like more evidence. There's some other things. I'm not going to get into that. But like, so, and then the other thing too, what really drives me nuts about these people who did away with the Council of 50, which was the correct portion of the kingdom of God on the earth, the political portion of the kingdom of God on the earth. They want to say the church is the kingdom of God on the earth? The church is not the kingdom of God on the earth. The kingdom of God began to be set up with the Council of 50, which Wilford Woodruff did away in the 1890s because it was a threat to the United States government, and they told him to get rid of it, and he did. He got rid of plural celestial marriage, united orders, and the political portion of the kingdom of God on the earth. Furthermore, the church claiming to be a kingdom, it requires a king to be a part of that kingdom. The King of Kings is not on earth, and they are not kings. So how do they think that they're the kingdom of God on the earth when they don't have a kingdom? They do not have a dominion of authority. All they can do is be a church because they gave up the right to have a kingdom. They gave it up in the 1890s when they gave up their right when they gave up the meat portion of the gospel, which is plural celestial marriage, and consecration, which is part of the United Order. They gave all that up. They gave up the political portion of the kingdom of God as well. And then they want to run around, we're the kingdom. No, you're not. That actually contradicts the teachings of Joseph Smith, who taught about that. But your correlation departments don't want you to know about that because they don't want you to question their authority, even though they have lost their authority. They don't want you to question anything. They only want to give you what they want to give you so that you won't question anything. And then, like, these people that are like, well, does it come from the church? Well, yeah, it does come from the church, but not your church, because your church was rejected. Your church was rejected. Joseph Smith's church in Nauvoo, it was legitimate up until it was rejected. And the Council of 50 that he set up in Nauvoo, that was legitimate. But what came afterwards is apostasy. and it has been an apostasy, a little bit here, a little bit there. That's how apostasy happens, until eventually the church today doesn't look like anything hardly what the church back then looked like, because it's not the same. You have been lied to, and I'm sorry if that offends you, but sometimes the truth is hard. And if you'd stop with your stupid correlation committees, you might actually learn something. So anyway, I'll mute myself. I just get irritated because they want to gaslight. I hate liars. I hate liars so much. And when they want to gaslight us and try to say, oh, this is the way, oh, don't worry about what they said before because they weren't right. But we're right now. Like, the church can never lead you astray. But Brigham Young, he led you astray. Oh, if we're going to change something about what Joseph Smith did, oh, well, he just didn't understand. He was just a product of his time. You know, they just gaslight the crap out of everyone, which is lying straight to your face. It's like spitting in your face and telling you it's raining. And it is offensive as hell to me. The church was everything to me. Everything. Because I know that Joseph Smith is a true prophet. And I know that the things he taught were true. But when I find out that these people just lie, they actively lie to beat the devil at his own game, and they lose the kingdom because they capitulate to Satan and his lies. And it pisses me off. And they wouldn't do it if they were from God. Because God's servants, they're not going to lie to you. But they do, because they're not God's servants. Anyway, I'll mute myself.
Joseph Fielding Smith, I know that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is in very deed the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that was set up never to be destroyed or given to another people is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Conference Report, April 1962, pages 44 and 45. Page 58. But the kingdom of God is the Church of Jesus Christ, and it is the kingdom that shall endure forever. A man cannot receive the fullness of truth except in the kingdom of God. In other words, if you please, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's Doctrine of Salvation, Volume 1, pages 229 and 299. Philip T. Sontag said, "This is that kingdom, even the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." Ensign, November 1984, page 77. Delbert L. Stapley, "The kingdom of heaven is the church. This kingdom is and has always been in heaven. It is now on earth in the church." Conference Report, April 1964, page 133. What I mean by the kingdom of God is the organization of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's from the same source, page 134. "Brother and sisters and friends, I bear humble witness that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is God's kingdom on earth." And again, the same source, but from page 136. James E. Talmadge, "The efficacy of baptism as a means of securing remission of sins and of attaining entrance to the Church of Jesus Christ, which is the kingdom of God." That's in The Vitality of Mormonism, Talmadge, page 94. And also from The Vitality of Mormonism, Talmadge, page 180, it says, "The kingdom of God and the Church of Christ are virtually synonymous terms. The kingdom of God, as identical with the Church of Christ, has been established. They claim an authority that is spiritual, but also temporal in dealing with the members of the organization, church or kingdom, as one may choose to call it." The Articles of Faith, Talmadge, pages 367 and 368. Page 59. N. Eldon Tanner, "I know that this is the Church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, here upon the earth." That's from Empirical Era, December 1960, page 924. "And I bear testimony that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the kingdom of God here upon the earth." That's Ensign, May 1976, page 51. John H. Vandenberg, The kingdom, as proclaimed by Daniel, was established. It is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And signed November 1974, page 95. Robert J. Witten, This Church is His Kingdom on the Earth. Conference transcript, April 1999. Joseph L. Worth Flynn, Officers duly ordained and authorized to serve in His Kingdom upon the Earth, His Church, One Church. Conference report, October 1953, page 15. Gordon B. Hinckley, prophet, seer, and revelator, and the president of the Lord's kingdom here upon the earth, even the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's conference transcripts, October 4th, 1997. And Dilworth Young, This Church is the true kingdom of God. That's conference report, April 1946, page 108. They will pursue its, this is speaking of the Book of Mormon, pages, receive and believe the promise at its end, and find the kingdom of God in this living, vibrant church. Conference report, April 1965, page 52. This church is their earthly kingdom. Test Empirical Era, December 1969, page 62. Page 60. It's interesting to note that during the past century, several books have been published by the LDS authors with titles relating to the kingdom of God. However, in most cases, there is nothing in them that pertains to the kingdom. For example, in 1973, N. Eldon Tanner published Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Chapter 1 has the same title, but it doesn't make any reference to the kingdom. Rather, it's a review of the author's life. The rest of the book discusses LDS church history and basic principles of the gospel without any reference, definition, or history of the kingdom of God. Another example is a book entitled The Kingdom of God Restored, written in 1955 by Carter E. Grant. It was published and distributed by Deseret Book Company and gives an excellent story, the history of the church early days of the LDS church, but mentions nothing about the kingdom of God. A third example is a book written by Sterling W. Still in 1975. Entitled Thy Kingdom Come. This was an excellent title that one would think should contain the definition, doctrine, and history of the kingdom of God. And indeed, the first chapter was titled Identifying the Kingdom, but it failed to identify or even make reference to the kingdom of God on the earth. The remainder of the book is Still's connection or collection of his personal thoughts on basic religious principles without any mention of the kingdom of God, which is so much like what the LDS Church does today. They give you some headline thing, and then they tell you stories that have nothing to do with what it is they're talking about or supposed to be talking about. It's like story time. Drives me insane. Ruth R. McConkie's The Kingdom of God was published in 1962. One would have thought that with that title and author, the book would have contained a scholarly look into the meaning and history of that important subject, but alas, it included nothing more than general topics and events of the LDS Church. Not to be overlooked in this category is the Gospel Doctrine Lesson Manual of 1979, published by the LDS Church, entitled My Kingdom Shall Roll Forth. The leading page contains a picture of the First Presidency, Spencer W. Kimball, and Eldon Tanner and Marion G. Romney, with a message from them, part of which states, our solemn message to the world is that the ancient prophet's vision of latter-day kingdom of God are literally fulfilled in the establishment and growth of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The rest of the book briefly describes the history and presidents of the church without mentioning anything about the kingdom of God. Why did so many of these authors entitle their books The Kingdom of God and never get around to explaining what it was or offering a little ancient or modern history of it? There can be only two major reasons. One, they were just leading up to the subject. Or two, they did not correctly understand the subject. It could not be the first reason because these authors never ended their books with anything pertaining to the kingdom of God. This leaves reason two, which means they did not correctly understand the subject of the kingdom of God themselves. The early church leaders, who were well acquainted with the doctrines of the Restoration, certainly knew the truth definition, but true definition of the kingdom of God. Their voices should be closer to the source of the revelations, and therefore closer to the truth. If you want a pure drink of water, go to the mountain source of the stream, not to the delta of the Mississippi River. Page 62. This chapter would not be complete unless we included various quotes from some of the early church leaders. Giving the reader some grounds for comparison, it is evident from the following information that these great men certainly did not believe that the kingdom of God was the same as the Church of Jesus Christ. Joseph Smith said, Prophet Joseph Smith gave a full and complete organization to this kingdom the spring before he was killed. This kingdom is the kingdom that Daniel spoke of, which was to be set up in the last days. That's Brigham Young, Journal of Discourse, Volume 17, page 156. And Brigham Young, as observed by one of the speakers this morning, that kingdom grows out of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but it is not the church. That's in Journal of Discourse, Volume 2, page 310. Whoever lives to see the kingdom of God fully established upon the earth will see a government that will protect every person in his rights. Journal of Discourse, Volume 6, page 342. John Taylor, the kingdom of God is the government of God on the earth. Government of God, Taylor, page 58. George Buchanan, we are asked, is this the church of God, the kingdom of God, the same organization? The kingdom of God is a separate organization from the church of God. We have been taught from the beginning this important principle that the church of God is distinct from the kingdom of God. Joseph gave us the pattern before he died. In the minds of all of us who understand this matter, there is a clear distinction between the church in its ecclesiastical capacity, that which may be termed the government of God in its political capacity. That's the Gospel Truth, Canon, Volume 2, page 56. H. Roberts says in Rise and Fall of Nauvoo, Roberts, page 180, but it is proper for the reader to know that Joseph Smith, when speaking strictly, recognized the distinction between the Church of Jesus Christ and the Kingdom of God, and not only a distinction, but a separation of one from the other. The Kingdom of God is to be a political institution. On the other hand, the Church of Christ is purely an ecclesiastical organization, end quote. Orson Pratt, Apostle Orson Pratt gave one of the most... Yes?
Okay, I am just going past the 10-yard. They are not loading down here tonight. I have to go to the mine. So,
okay.
When you're done reading, if you want to just hang... You can say whatever you want. If you want to hang up, that's fine. I will call back into the show when I come back down. The editing software for Blog Talk Radio will cut and make it sound like, even though there might be 20, 30 minutes of nowhere, it'll cut all that nowhere out. So I can come back on and take calls after I get back down. So you can do whatever you want. Just read, you know, you've got like, what, a couple pages left?
Yep.
Okay, so just go ahead and read, and then when I come back down, I will call back in, and if you're still on, that's great, and if you're not, are you going to go to bed, or do you want me to call you?
I'll probably go to bed.
Okay, and then I'll take calls when I come back down, if there are any calls, and if not, then I will just play the ending music, and if I have anything to say, I'll say it at that time. But like I said, for the listening audience, I am about to go from 5,000 feet up to 8,000 feet about, and I go in through some canyons and stuff over the course of about 7 miles, and I cut out a lot. So it is what it is. Until I can afford a cell phone booster, it's just the way it's going to be. So anyway, because I don't have anywhere to pull over. So anyway, go ahead, Kim, and I will mute myself, and I'll listen as long as I have service, and then I'll call back in as soon as I can. Love you.
Okay. Love you. Orson Pratt, Apostle Orson Pratt, gave one of the most complete descriptions of the kingdom of God ever made. He explained the functions of each officer, whether a priest in the church or a king in the kingdom. He also showed how they both could operate under the authority of the holy priesthood. The kingly authority is not separate and distinct from the priesthood, but merely a branch or portion of the same. The priestly authority is universal, having power over all things. The kingly authority, until perfected, is limited to the kingdom placed under its jurisdiction. The former appoints and ordains the latter, but the latter never appoints and ordains the former. The first controls the laws of nature and exercises jurisdiction over the elements as well as over men. The last controls men only and administers just and righteous laws for their government. Where the two are combined and the individual perfected, he has almighty power both as a king and as a priest. Both offices are then merged in one. The distinction will be merely in the name and not the authority. Either as a king or a priest, he will then have power and dominion over all things and reign over all. Both titles combined will then not give him any more power than either one singly. It is evident that the distinctions of the title are only expressive of the condition of things prior to the glorification and perfection of the persons who hold the priesthood. For when they are perfected, they will have power to act in every branch of authority by virtue of the great and almighty and eternal priesthood which they hold. They can then sway their scepters as kings, rule as princes, minister as apostles, officiate as teachers, or act in the humblest or most exalted capacity. There is no branch of the priesthood so low that they cannot condescend to officiate therein, none so high that they cannot reach forth the arm of power and control the same. That's in the Seer, Pratt, page 145. After the church was restored in 1830, it took time and preparation for the kingdom of God to be restored. The people soon learned the difference between the two and eventually saw them both organized and functioning, working toward different objectives, using different methods. They saw how they were separate organizations. They saw different men in both organizations. They heard and recognized the difference in their purpose and mission. However, with the passage of time, the definition became confusing to some of the elders. They had differing views, and gradually the original definition was changed from being a physical government on the earth to being the spiritual entity of the church. It is interesting to note that both the early Christian church and the Latter-day Church followed the same pattern and for the same reasons. And that completes that chapter. The next chapter, starting on page 65, will be chapter 6, Opposition in All Things. And we'll be reading that, I believe, tomorrow night. And I was just going to say, it's interesting that the more you read of earlier church history and things that the early church leaders had said, specifically Joseph Smith, they do contradict many of what the mainstream Brighamite church believes today. And it doesn't even have to be that church. There are so many breakoffs, as we were talking about earlier, from the original church after Joseph Smith had passed on, had died, been martyred. There have been so many different breakoffs, and everybody interpreted it differently, a different way that they saw fit. They didn't believe the same leaders were the Lord's anointed, so people split different ways. Emma Smith did not go out to Utah. She actually stayed back east when Joseph passed, she didn't follow Brigham. Anyways, what I was saying was that it's interesting to go back and look and search history of the church and the earlier church leaders, because they do contradict a lot of what is going on now. And in order for you to seek truth, you can ask God, and he will give you revelation. He will help you. But you still have to do your part. It's not just going to come to you if there's no information in your brain to help you out with it. So you have to do a little bit of the research and be searching and looking and asking, and he will lead you to get the right answers, and it can help you out greatly. We search different things as it is. My husband researches different things than I do. I do a lot more, I guess it would be motherly parts of research too, because I take care of, you know, the family, the house, the home kind of things. He does too. He helps out. He's great with that. But I guess it's like with the priesthood or the priestesshood, or what we each have, we all have our own place, and we have our own stewardships underneath us. And so the things that I do, and just like every other woman, you don't have to do the same exact things that your husband or men do. We are made to do the things they cannot do. And we're so much better at it than they would be. And I know if he was on too, he would laugh and he would say yes. So we are made to be a complement of that. And so all I'm saying is the research that you do, the women who listen to the radio show, or the men, you all may not be researching the same exact thing, but we are all different parts of God's kingdom. We are all being raised up, and we just need to have our personal relationship with God so that we know what it is that he would have us do. We need to be in tune with the Spirit, in tune with God, so that when he asks us to do things, when he is ready to bring about his kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven, that we are ready to listen and that we have been prepared as much as we can be, and that we can be ready to do what it is needed and asked of us. So just like in his kingdom, so should your homes be established the same way, where husband and wife work together. We don't have to do the same exact things, but we are made to help and complement each other. And that is the same way it will be for the kingdom. There are many people who have been getting prepared, and you have talents, you have special things that you have been shown and you've been taught, even young in infancy, about what it is that you were meant for. And, you know, the way that the world is going on now, these are the times for you to be ready, for you to remember the things that God has showed you. Remember all it is that he has kept you safe from and brought you out of, so that you can be essential to his kingdom when he comes down, and be essential to his plan. And I know that I pray for the kingdom of God to come on the earth as it is in heaven. I hope that you all are praying for that as well. I don't want anybody to be under the rule or reign of any other kingdom other than God's kingdom. I would love to be in a world where we could see the kingdom of God here. For my children, as well as your children, I would love it for them to be in a nice Zion community, where they don't have to deal with people trying to have dominion rule over them and have more and gain and try to pull everything away from them. We all are meant to be equal, and we are all meant to not own that which is above another. Wherefore, the whole world will lie in sin. We need to be able to come together and be able to listen to the promptings of the Spirit so that we know when the time is right and we know that we are following what it is in our hearts that we are being told to do. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No, especially when you're afraid. God says in Scripture, those who trust Him need not fear. So just have trust in the promptings that you're getting and do as you are told to do by God, and everything will work out for His own wise purpose. And in my experience, it makes everything work out way better than I ever thought it could. So, I'm not sure that I have a whole lot others to say. I hope that you all are praying and you are researching and reading and you are trying to learn and gain higher knowledge. I hope that you're ready to go where you have to go and be where He needs you to be, so that we can all help out in His kingdom and help bring forth His kingdom on the earth. It very much is exciting times right now. It is difficult, especially if you have a family with young kids, because you don't want them to be raised in crazy times and in war and famines, and it's definitely scary, but I know, and I can give you my testimony, especially of prayer, that if you pray to God, that He will comfort you, and He will answer your prayers, and He will help you to be where He needs you to be, and He will help you to understand what it is that you need to do, and He will help. He will help us all those who believe in Him. And these things I say in His name, and even in Yeshua's name. Amen.
All right, so Kim finished with the reading. Tomorrow when we come back on, we will be in Chapter 6 of the Kingdom of God, Volume 3. Let me see what the chapter title is here. I'm just scrolling down to the... Okay, Opposition in All Things is Chapter 6, and it starts on page 65 of the Kingdom of God, Volume 3. So, all right, well, we don't have any callers. We don't have any questions from what I can see. So we'll just end the program with the closing music. And thank you for listening to this program. If you enjoy the content, you can always look on facebook.com/LAZURUS1977 for the text to what I do read every single day, or well, every day that I do the radio program anyway. If you click on the radio show link, you can find the link to the book to read the book online for free at ogdenkraut.com. Also, if you do not want to be hooked to your computer, somebody said that they enjoy my shows, but they don't want to be stuck to a computer for 2 or 3 hours at a time, and that's fine. I understand that. You can also find this at Podcast Addict, iTunes, iTunes Podcast, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you find your podcasts, like Podcast Republic. I don't know, there's a bunch of them that people enjoy using to get the content so they can listen to it on their phone when they're commuting or whatever they're doing. So anyway, thank you for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the program. and I'll try to be back on tomorrow with another episode on Chapter 6. And until then, enjoy life, and thank you for listening. Bye.